The Lord be with you.
With you.
Welcome to the Lord's house on this first Sunday in Advent. So I guess I should say Happy New Year. First Sunday of a brand new church year. In this season of Advent, we look forward to the comings of our Lord Jesus Christ. His coming at Bethlehem is coming to us now as he speaks to us in his word, and his coming at the end of time to judge the living and the dead. We don't have a copier yet, as you might have noticed. That means the bulletin this morning, the copier repairman volunteered to run it, and it didn't turn out looking exactly like it usually does. We don't have an insert this morning. Your newsletter will come this week. Those also couldn't yet be printed. So we're going to get a loaner as of Monday. Midweek Advent service, 7:15 this Wednesday and all of the Wednesdays thereafter in Advent. Our theme this year is Great Expectations. As most of you know, Ed Cimaroli was called to his heavenly home on Tuesday morning. There will not be a funeral, but the family will be having a celebration of life in January. If you ordered poinsettias, the cost is now $7 instead of $8, so make that note whenever you make your payment. For your Advent devotions this year, an encouragement to read one chapter of the book of Luke each day from now until Christmas Eve, and you'll have finished the entire book of Luke and reminding yourself who Jesus is and why it is that we celebrate. You'll finish on Christmas Eve and be ready for the celebration of Christmas Day. That also, I believe, is an announcement in the bulletin. A couple of service notes. One, the Gloria in Excelsis is listed on the outline, but we omit that during Advent, so just ignore that. We will omit it. Bill, we include in our prayers Bill Darner's brother Mike and his friends in the Sin family who are mourning. Are there any other announcements or prayers? Christine? Other announcements or prayers? Becky.
Could you include my nephew Dave casting in prayers?
Absolutely. Will do. Any other prayers or announcements? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. To you also.
The USB port on the back of the TV doesn't work.
Can't
get in. We brought it in different cords and will not receive it. It's like it only goes halfway in.
It's always worked before. I've used it before.
USB.
That's weird.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we've had like we had four engineers over there couldn't get it in.
Huh. Good to see you, Cole. God's peace, Dana. Peace of the Lord, Brenda. Peace of the Lord. God's peace. God's peace. We ask our Lord's blessing on worship this day and know that he will bless us as Christ's advent among us now prepares us for his final advent. Divine Service, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
You may kneel or sit for confession. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I'm heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The Kyrie, page 186. Salutation, page 189. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The epistle is from Romans chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus said, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware that the flood came. They were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let the house be broken into. Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. The Nicene Creed, page 191. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
God that calls for our attention on this first Sunday in Advent is the Old Testament reading for this day from Isaiah chapter 2. If you happen to have your Bible with you or have an app, you may wish to follow along. That's Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our soon to return Lord Jesus Christ. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Word, that's the word from Yahweh. This is not fake news. This is real stuff. Listen up. Because you're going to get the truth, and it is a truth you need for your life now and for your life forever. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw. Now, isn't that strange? It makes sense if you say the word that Isaiah heard, but this says he saw it. Maybe this was a word of God that he carved into stone the way he did the Ten Commandments. I don't know. It just sounds strange that Isaiah saw the word of God, but it shouldn't sound strange because God has a habit of making his promises not only heard but seen. He says the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect, but he doesn't just say it. He puts it on paper so that your eyes can see the Word of God, so you can be sure and certain. He says baptism is the washing of rebirth, and then he uses water that you can see the Word of God in, so that you visibly can gaze on him rebirthing a person into his family. He says that his body was sacrificed for you, that his blood atones for your sin. And he puts that word of God in bread and wine and serves you his body and blood that you can see. See, Isaiah is not the only one who sees the Word of God. You do too. Now, what does this visible Word say is going to happen? It shall come to pass in the latter days. Latter days, when are those? That's the days when the Messiah arrives. For Isaiah, those days were future. You and I are in the middle of the latter days. Some of them have already happened because the Messiah has already arrived in Mary to live and die and rise for us. But the Messiah is also arriving right now. He's here speaking to you right now. And there are also days of the latter days yet to come when Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead. So it shall come to pass in the latter days that we're in the midst of right now, that the mountain of the house of Yahweh shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills. The mountain of the house of Yahweh is Mount Zion, where the temple was in Jerusalem, 2,500 feet above sea level. That's kind of a dwarf of a mountain in comparison to like Mount Everest or K2. How's it going to be the highest of all the mountains? Well, it's highest not in the sense of being the tallest, but in the sense of being the greatest or being the most important. Every faithful Israelite from the Old Testament knew that the most important mountain on the entire earth was Mount Zion, because that's where God's throne was. That's where God met with his people. Most of the people in the world didn't know it. But in the latter days, everyone shall come to know that it is the highest of all the mountains. And you might say, well, how can it possibly be seen as the highest of all mountains when the temple isn't even there anymore, where God met with his people? It was destroyed in AD 70 by the Romans. But it has been replaced. The temple on Mount Zion has been replaced with the temple of Jesus. He says, speaking of his own body, destroy this temple and I'll build it again in 3 days, which is exactly what he did. So there's a very real sense in which the mountain of Yahweh is wherever it is that Jesus is meeting God's people. That means that right now, you are sitting in front of Mount Zion. I'm standing on Mount Zion. This is the place where God meets his people, where we get an audience with him. No wonder the psalmist would say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, what's going to happen on this mountain in God's house? All the nations shall flow to it, and many peoples shall come. When? Well, it's already begun. You and I are among the peoples who are flowing to God's house. But it'll be complete on the last day. On that day, from earth's wide bounds, from ocean's farthest coast, through gates of pearl streams in the countless host. Dead Christians revived and entering into his presence forever. No one there is going to notice the color of anybody else's skin or ask what sins had to be forgiven to get them there. What everybody will notice is that everyone streaming through those gates is streaming through them, because they have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Who will be among them? Ed Cimaroli, you, me, anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, including the Muslims who are coming to faith now in Germany. They immigrated from the Middle East, and now our fellow Lutherans are teaching them Jesus, bringing them to faith. My friend Ku Sing will be there too. Ku, he just a few days ago lost his battle with cancer. Actually, I should say he just won his battle with cancer. Ku was born in Laos. His parents didn't begin life as Christians, but they came to faith, became Christians, when missionaries were willing to tell them about Jesus. They emigrated to the United States during the Vietnam War with Ku and his siblings. They had to flee. They were sponsored as immigrants in the United States by a Lutheran congregation, and so Ku was brought up among those who were streaming to the mountain of Yahweh. He learned to play soccer and to play it quite well, like in an all-American level quite well, which is why I got to know him at St. John's College in Winfield, Kansas. Ku then studied for the ministry, became the first Hmong man who was ever ordained into the ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He began ministries to his native people in the Twin Cities and in California, and then in recent years was called to teach as a professor at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. All this was happened because there were Christians willing to speak to Ku's parents and to Ku about Jesus the Christ. Speak, dear Christians. We are the church. I'm told that 82% of all people who do not attend church say they would try coming to church if they were just invited. So what do we say? Well, how about what the text says? Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Come to my church and meet Jesus. And if they want to know who Jesus is, you can tell them he's the one who's broken into this broken world, the one who died our death so that we wouldn't have to die, the one who rose to life so that we can rise from death to life. Say, come, meet the God who cares so completely about you that he gave his life for you. And we ought to be all the more urgent about that, because the Son of Man is coming at a day when we do not expect. And the day of our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. How do we get ready? Well, let's see. Freiburg is 500 feet above sea level. But this is the mountain of Yahweh, where he prepares us for the final coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is where we come, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Look, if I don't have the Lord's guidance, I am guaranteed to wander from his path. I will be lost forever and never make it down his road into heaven. That's why we need to come here, so he can teach us his paths, because his paths look very unnatural to me. I want revenge on the people who despise me. He wants to forgive them. I want to mete out punishment. He wants to take everyone's punishment. I want evil people to fear my wrath. He wants all people to trust his mercy. And here is where we learn those paths. Here is where we learn to, as Paul puts it in today's epistle, put on our Lord Jesus Christ so that we don't indulge our sinful desires, but instead live as Christ people. You're going to look a little weird to the world if you continue to put on Christ and continue not to indulge your sinful desires. And they're going to look at you kind of funny if you refuse to abuse alcohol, if you treat sex as a sacred gift from God, if you're one who's working to overcome all of the hostilities in this world instead of creating those hostilities. And just when people ask you, what in the world's gotten into you? You can tell them who in the world has gotten into you. Actually, who from outside this world has gotten into you? Jesus. Jesus, whom you meet here on this mountain that we call Christ our Savior Lutheran Church. For out of Zion, out of this place, shall go the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The law? Law, usually we associate with God's commands, but here the Hebrew word is Torah. It means all of God's revelation. Everything that our Lord wants us to know. In fact, Isaiah sets it up in the text as a synonym to the word of the Lord. So what draws us and all people to Jesus is not some demand. It is an invitation, a promise. A promise, for instance, that the Son of Man is coming to set everything right. The Son of Man is coming to destroy the devil who seeks to destroy you. In fact, he has already broken into the devil's house and robbed him of something that once belonged to him, you. That's what he's going to do next Sunday for my grandson, Joel. It's what he's going to do 3 weeks from now for Brad's grandson, Otto, and Brad's granddaughter, Fiona. What he's going to do in 4 weeks for Hope and Devon's grandson, Emmett. You see, our children, like us, are born sinful. They are born belonging to Satan until Jesus breaks into their lives, breaks into Satan's house, and steals them from the father of lies and makes them children of the father of love. And he does it through baptism, water, which is God's word that we can see. Now, notice what else is going to happen. Not only is on these latter days is the mountain of Yahweh going to be established as the highest, most important of all mountains so that everybody can come to it. Not only is God's law, the message of Christ, going to go out from the mountain, but also he shall judge between the nations and shall settle disputes for many peoples. No more arguments between humans. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. No more need for war instruments. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. No more need for West Point or Annapolis or the Air Force Academy or anywhere else that we now need to teach war. Because you have to have instruments of war in this world to keep people in line, but not in the new creation. Then they can hammer their swords into plowshares. Then the tanks from the battlefields can become tractors in the cornfields. Then the chemicals created to destroy lives can be used to restore lives then battleships can become cruise ships. No more hatred between people. No more quarrels among us. No more battling between husbands and wives. No more fights between children and their parents. No more feuds between friends. No more will I offend you by my actions, nor you offend me by your actions. But best of all, the rift between your God and you will be erased forever, because you will at that point experience in full what is already yours, that Jesus was declared guilty at the cross so that you can be declared innocent, that Jesus that you meet here in his house on the mountain of the Lord. So in the new creation, there will be no more weapons of war needed. But already now, the church needs no weapons of war to do its work. We have everything that we need in the Word of God, the law that goes out from Zion, the message of what Jesus has done for us. We can hold a gun to somebody's head and say, you better become a Christian, but it won't work. It won't make them a Christian. All that threats do is to make somebody either a hypocrite, that is, someone who says they're a believer when they aren't, they just said so they wouldn't die, or if you carry through your threat, they end up a dead unbeliever with no opportunity to repent and receive their Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the gospel doesn't threaten. It doesn't say you better call yourself a Christian or you will die. The gospel says before you ever called yourself a Christian, Jesus died, and he did it for you. The gospel doesn't demand, it invites. It says, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Yeah, because in the last days there will be a mountain that will be raised in importance above all the other mountains, like Zion once was when God's people came there, like this church and all other Christian churches are now, when we flock to hear the word of the Lord, like heaven will be when we are with the Lord there. And from that Zion, from that mountain goes out the law, the word of the Lord, the message of Jesus to teach us his paths, his way of offering his life for us instead of demanding his life, our lives from us. And yep, in those latter days, when the Son of Man comes at an hour we do not expect, then there will be swords beaten into plowshares. Then all human disputes will end. Enmity with our God will be over. Peace will replace war. We will be with our God, and our God will be with us. Oh, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for the offertory, page 192. Come, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, who promises to hear our prayers. And let us pray with even greater urgency, because we are now even nearer to the day of salvation than when we first believed. Lord, give us hearts that sincerely say, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. We confess that we sometimes come reluctantly. Thank you that in these latter days you have promised to meet us, to teach us your paths, to show us your words in this place that you have made your holy mountain. Preserve our congregation and your entire church against all her enemies, especially teach St. Mark, Zion, and faith congregations to walk in your ways and follow your paths. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, you raised up Isaiah to prepare the way of the Lord, and you prepare and you provide pastors today to your church. Bless your people with faithful leaders who teach us your spoken word purely and serve your visible word as you have directed. Give each of us ears to hear and hearts to believe the good news of our Savior. Open our mouths to be bold messengers about Jesus and to invite others to come to the mountain of Yahweh. Be with all missionaries. Give perseverance to our sisters and brothers who are persecuted for Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, in this season of Advent, fill us with the desire to be prepared, because the Son of Man is coming at a time we do not expect. You have clothed Linda and Carrie and all of your baptized people with Christ. Give us faith that continually puts on Christ and so avoids drunkenness, sexual immorality, quarreling, and every sinful desire of the flesh. Use us or whatever means necessary to bring back those who are not coming to your house. Give to each of us faith that looks forward to the final advent of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty Lord, you hold in your hand all of the authorities on this earth. Guide those who govern our towns, our state, and our nation. Lead them to follow your law and to work in accord with your will, because it is always good. Defend your gifts of life and marriage among us. Prompt us to use our voices to speak up for what is good. Bring peace and bring an end to violence and terror. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Lord, your Son bore the burdens of our sin to grant us healing and hope. So come to the aid of those who are afflicted by physical and mental ills, those whose hearts are grieving, and those who are near to death. Especially, Lord, we pray for the Sin family and for the families of Ed and Mel and Ku, for Oris and his family, for Mike and Dave, Roger, Barb, Matt, Tara, Charles, Barb, Kathy, Norma, Sherry, Charlie, Herb, Parker, Reagan, Sue, Holly, Joshua, Hope, the Martinez family, Clem and Nina. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, give us grateful hearts that receive your goodness with thanksgiving. We praise you for the birth of Joel and Nabel, Eric and Hannon, and all of us parents to raise our children to come to the mountain of the Lord. Make our homes places of safety and love and faith. Enable us to use all the resources that you provide for us for the good of each other, for the spread of your kingdom, and for the glory of your goodness. Accept now the tithes and offerings that we bring as expressions of our gratitude, Lord, in your mercy. Everlasting God, your Son invites us to his table and nourishes us with his flesh and blood that was given for the life of the world. Grant to us true repentance and a confident faith as we receive this blessed meal. Unite your people, remove our divisions, and fill us with joy at the coming of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Hear us for the sake of Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is meet and right so to do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us.
treasures of his grace to enrich the humble poor. Our glad hosannas, Prince of Peace, thy welcome shall proclaim.
Daughter, rise,
to meet your lowly King, nor let your faithless heart despise the peace he comes to bring. As judge on clouds of light, he soon will come again, and his true set us free with Father, Spirit, ever one through all eternity.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us bless the Lord. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. 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 Amen.